Her imagination was unflagging even when she wasn't performing. Elizabeth tells us that on warm days the two girls would climb onto the roofs of the row of outside lavatories behind their apartment house and, ignoring the smells, pretend they were somewhere else. We're on a sandy beach. Can't you see the waves breaking on the shore? How clear the sky is. Do you hear how sweetly the orchestra at the casino is playing? Look at that girl in the funny green bathing suit. It's fun to be here and look at the bathers, isn't it? The girls remained friends and in touch long after Greta went to America, but she ended the friendship abruptly and typically when in 1932 Elizabeth betrayed her by offering these reminiscences to Motion Picture Magazine. She spent a lot of time at the local soup kitchens. She was a regular at the Salvation Army, not only filling up on food but entertaining the people standing in line. At the age of 9, putting on skits to amuse them and even stretching to a musical review in which Greta portrayed everything from the goddess of peace to a 3-year-old in red rompers. Not that she'd been exposed as a child to the theater. The Gustafsons were far too poor to waste money on entertainment. But when Greta would earn a few pennies, she would spend them on the movies and on movie magazines. Earn them or beg them. One neighbor reported that Greta was a real cadger in those days. On paydays, when the men came home from work, she would stand in the street, smiling at them with an outstretched hand. And she would acquire postcards of stage stars from the nearby newspaper kiosk in exchange for running errands for the proprietress. Her favorite was the charming leading man of Swedish variety shows, Carl Brisson, who went on to appear on the London stage as Count Danilo in The Merry Widow, and as the star of Hitchcock's The Manxman in 1929. Many kids, of course, have dreams of becoming actors, and many kids put on shows for their families and the neighbors. And then there have been those like Mary Pickford and the Gish sisters, who were themselves performing at a very early age to keep their families afloat. Mary was trooping at the age of 7, Lillian at 9. But it's hard to believe that apart from Greta, there was ever a girl of 8 or 9 who would walk some distance to theaters in the evening and stand at the stage door alone for hours just to watch the actors and actresses come in and go out. It would get so late that her father or brother or Uncle David, who was a taxi driver, would go look for her and convey her home. Those late hours no doubt contributing to her routine exhaustion at school. Meanwhile, though she was beginning to be recognized by some of the actors and actresses, the stage doorman of the South Sides Theater took a shine to her and one night let her go backstage. At last, I caught wonderful glimpses of the players at their entrances and smelled that most wonderful of all odors to a devotee of the theater, that backstage smell, compounded of grease paint, powder, and musty scenery. No odor in the world will ever mean as much to me. None. Slowly, she became a known quantity, and given her charm, a welcome one, at these theaters. She was consumed by her determination to become not only an actress, but a great star. But how to get there? She was dirt poor, essentially uneducated, and had no connections. Yet it happened. Nothing could or would stop her, although, along with her determination, she suffered from an almost crippling shyness, especially with strangers. Indeed, her strongest impulse, she would say, was to be alone with her thoughts and dreams. I was always sad as a child, for as long as I can think back. I hated crowds of people, and I used to sit in a corner by myself just thinking. I did not want to play very much. I did some skating and played with snowballs, but most of all, I wanted to be alone with myself. And she would spend much of her long life being exactly that,